What's up, guys? Hope you guys are doing super well. Hope you guys are off to another fantastic week. This is your host, Cam Wild, the FIFO Fit coach, and welcome back to another episode of the FIFO Fit podcast show. You're in for a treat again. For this week's episode, we have the wonderful, the beautiful Vanessa Jane Carley jumping on and sharing her experience about being up on FIFO, but not just kicking goals on FIFO as a chick and earning her place, as you'll hear from her. But she's also competing in, you know, some of the toughest bodybuilding competitions and has been doing so for the past couple of years. So she's going to give you some insights into, you know, what she does around her nutrition and training and how she preps, stays on track, and remains consistent and committed towards her goals. So before we jump into things, guys, don't forget to share the FIFO Fit podcast show with your mates on site. Get everyone involved, everyone on board, because the more people that we have tuning in, the more people we can help. But apart from that, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. For those of you who don't know the superstar, Vanessa has an awesome backstory on how she kind of has found her way into FIFO. And she's also, the reason that I find Vanessa so interesting and just an awesome chick is she's not afraid to speak her mind, as you guys will quickly soon find out. And she's also, true story. but also she is an incredibly committed individual who seems to have a bit of a chip on her shoulder, and she just works her ass off and as a superstar because of it. So really excited to have you back on, babe. And I think the first thing that I want to kind of dive in and share with the people, because they all want to know, is how, tell us a little bit about your backstory. I guess the last 10 years are kind of the ups and downs, and how you found your way working on FIFO, or FIFO as you call it.
FIFO, FIFO, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. We fly in and fly out regardless. I started working FIFO maybe... I've done it on and off for about 6 years now. So, years ago, I was like working as a hairdresser, earning little to no money, as any hairdressers watching will know, and wanted to get a job in the mines. It took me about 12 months of applying before I finally found a position, because it is really hard, especially when you're green, to try and get into the industry. And eventually I found a position with Rio, and they took us on as green, trained me up, all that kind of stuff. So I did that. I was there for near 4 years at West End. So if anyone's watching from West End, hi guys. And then I left FIFO for about 2 years, and I opened up my own, I bought a cafe, and I had that for about a year, just over. Mm-hmm. And that didn't go so well, and basically I ended up going broke, and I said to myself, if that happened, then I'd always have FIFO to fall back on. And initially it was just a fallback plan. And then I have been back there for 2 years now, and I love it. Like, I'm going to be there forever. So you guys from Mount Keith that are watching, you're stuck with me forever, because I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be there when we're filling the hole back in. So, I really love it. So that's basically a quick rundown of how I got in and why I'm involved.
And what is it that you do on site now?
Okay, so officially I'm employed as a truck driver. So I drive mm-hmm. haul trucks. I also drive water carts, graders. I run dispatch. Some places call it control. We call it dispatch, where basically you're in this room with all these computers. If you'll have ever looked at my Instagram when I'm in there, sometimes I show a little snapshot of what it's like. But it's basically, there's like 10 different, no, there's more than that. It's like 15 different monitors, and we run all the pit, what's being dug, the maintenance, the fueling, all that kind of stuff. And that's awesome. Also do emergency response as well.
Oh, great. So is this something you picked up recently, or have you been doing this for a little while?
No, I've been doing it about 12 months-ish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not that long, but I recently did an underground mines rescue comp as well as part of that. So that was really cool. That was a really good experience. That's
awesome. Yeah, that's all. I want to actually ask you about that. It wasn't Merck, was it?
No,
it was a similar competition. Awesome. Okay, cool. And one of the things that first drew me to your page and how I kind of connected you with you in the first place is wasn't just that you were working FIFO and you really enjoying it and actually killing it in the space, but I think another thing that was really apparent to me was that the commitment that you have towards your health and fitness on site. And I want to kind of go a little bit deeper into this with you as well, and to explain the people who may not have as much experience in this space. Vanessa competes at the highest level when it comes to bodybuilding competitions in the IFBB. Now, is this your first competition that's coming up, or have you competed here?
So this is my fourth competition coming up. Yes.
she knows the way. She basically runs the show now.
Not at all. So I've competed with different federations, always in bikini division. Some shows I've had success in, some I haven't. But I just love it. And so yeah, I'm coming up to, I think it's my fourth. Wait, hold on. Maybe it's my fifth show. I don't know. But
wow.
Yeah, coming up to doing that. So because I do 2 weeks on, 1 week off, recently I just did a 5 week stint as well. So most of my prep is on site. So I just have to be really prepared for that, that's all.
And I want to ask you about that, because that's obviously a huge part of this, right? And for those of you who don't know, like, you know, bodybuilding competitions, and I certainly haven't competed to the same level that Vanessa has, but it's while it is an incredible physical feat to do that, mostly, and correct me here if I'm wrong, it's a mental feat going into that, right? It's an massive out. And I want you to share with us the process of training, the mental fight that you're fighting, as well as just run us through the prep of kind of what you've been doing leading up to this and how you've been managing that while on and off site.
Okay, so I'll go through a bit of on site. So like a typical day for me is I get up at stupid o'clock, as they call it, and I go and train. Basically, I get my cardio done, I get my weight training done, all that kind of stuff. I also take all my food up to site pretty much. I might get like a tiny bit of fruit or peanut butter or whatever from the mess. And yeah, other than that, basically everything else I bring up, all frozen, all like vacuum sealed or in sandwich bags or whatever, and it's all frozen. And I take it and I put it in my tiny little bar fridge in my room. So if anyone says they can't do it, you're lying, because you can do it. So I take all my food up. It's all frozen. I take it on the plane with me. I put it in cooler bags inside my suitcase. I take these giant suitcases as big as me, full of food every swing. Put it all in my freezer, and then every day I just know exactly what I need to grab, and I take it and I go. Mentally, the hard part is when you finish work and you are tired as all hell, and even though I sit in a machine all day, it's still a 13-hour day, and you know you're still going to go to the gym, and you are tired, or especially after night shift, because as we all know, how much night shift throws us around, how unnatural it is for the body, and then you're trying to push through your shift, and then afterwards it's like, oh, and I've still got to go to the gym. And it's mentally really hard as well as physically. So
can I interrupt that real briefly as well? I want to kind of extrapolate on that with regards to like how you're bringing up night shift. And I think that's something that cannot be understated or overstated or emphasized enough, is the fact that like leading up to competition, any kind of body composition changes, growth, health, all this kind of stuff, one of the most prominent parts of this isn't actually just the training and necessarily the nutrition, it's the recovery side of things. And, you know, the biggest part of that being sleep. And so, you know, you're not just optimizing body composition, but you're doing that and navigating day shift, night shift, different environments back at home, on site, and then getting up on stage as well. So I the reason that I wanted to kind of point that out is because this is not a normal thing.
This is not a normal challenge.
No, I'm not normal.
Yeah, this chick is cool. Right. Sorry, continue. I just wanted to kind of dig into that.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think sleep is something that I talk to a lot of people about. As we all know how beneficial it is for our health, even, you know, for muscle growth, for weight loss, for mental health, just for having the energy for work, sleep is super important. Unfortunately, I'm the worst person to talk to about that because I don't really sleep. I an average of 3 to 5 hours a night is about me or a day. yeah. So I'm literally the worst person to ask about that. I literally would sacrifice sleep to get other things done, and I know long term that's not a good thing. So anyone that's listening, don't take my advice because that's a really terrible thing to do.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
It works for me.
She's not normal.
I'm not normal.
Spectrum, but yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So,
right, okay. Cool.
And I wanted to ask, like, so another reason that you're a bit of an anomaly here is not just that you're competing at the highest level, you're tackling some of the challenging environments, but you're also a minority in the environment that you're in. You work FIFO, you're a chick, and it's 90 to 95% of the workforce is male, yet you're not just a chick who's there working and, you know, earning your place there, which is something that's super, super important. And it's something you spoke to me about where that even pisses you off, where you have, you know, girls who kind of can come up on, not just girls, but anyone comes up on site and, you know, tries to get a free ride based on, you know, the how they're grouped, right? But how do you, tell us a little bit about how you overcome the challenges, I guess, on site, and some of the mindset hacks that you use, or maybe even better, the conversations that you're having with people on site who you're making these changes, you're not making excuses, but these other people are. Talk to us a little bit about those conversations that you have.
Okay, so something that really grinds my gears is people that, I don't want to say just women because it's men as well, that want to get by and not on their work ethic, not on what they can do. But, you know, they use their minority as a bit of a card to get through, you know, and that pisses me right off. So, to me, I don't want to get ahead because, oh, we need a chick to fill this position, or, you know, you're talking to the right people, or, you know, whatever, you're at the bar, or, you know, you're sweet-talking in the right person's ear, or whatever, and I hate that shit, basically. So, it's like, if I'm going to be given an opportunity, I want it to be because, Ness, you've proved yourself, you've worked hard, you've done the same as what the boys can do, therefore you deserve the opportunity. And I know there's going to be some chicks watching now that are like, yes, because there's a lot of girls that feel exactly the same way, and there's a lot of guys that are pissed off that they're getting opportunities taken away from them simply to fill them with females that don't necessarily deserve them. And I'm not saying they don't deserve them. There are a lot of girls that do deserve them, but it's just when it's clearly not deserved, it really pisses people off, and I don't want anything for that reason.
Roger that. So you're of the strong opinion that let's not fill the spaces just for the sake of you know, ticking a box and saying, yeah, we've got X amount of girls or whatever the fuck it is. You're of the space that you need to, if you're here, you need to earn your place.
Yeah, and that goes for males, females. You know, I don't care what color you are, what sex you are, I don't care. If you deserve an opportunity, fuck yeah, you should get it. If you don't, you shouldn't. I just think that's blanket, that's across the board, that applies to everyone. And I think that pushes people harder to do what they should be doing in the first place.
And honestly, it makes the most sense, right? Like it's equal opportunity, not just equal opportunity of outcome, which is where the problem lies, right? But then another question around this is, talk to us a little bit about the conversations that you're having with people around their health and fitness, right? Because obviously you're a shining light for people on site, someone who doesn't take no for an answer. Like, you are a minority here. You're not just, like, you work hard, you're a chick, and that's neither here nor there, but a lot of people look at that and go, okay, cool, she's not as physical as some of the guys, and she can't keep up, yet you're not only keeping up, you're not only there to earn your place, but you're also doing extra. Not just extra in the sense of working out at the gym and doing the meal prep and all this kind of stuff, but you're also a volunteer in Mind Rescue as well, which is awesome. So tell me a little bit about, or talk to us about the conversations that you have and some of the excuses that people are coming up and how you feel about this and how you approach those conversations.
Well, I'll tell you about a conversation I had when I first mentioned that I was going to join Mind Rescue. One of the guys said to me, oh, I'd rethink that if I was you. And I was like, oh, okay, why is that? Oh, I don't know how to keep up. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Cheers, mate.
And I'm like, you know what, mate? I can put on a BA and run fucking circles around you whilst carrying a fucking stretcher. So I don't let it get to me. Like, I'm just like, cool, if that's what you think, that's nice. I don't have anything to prove to anyone except myself. When I do Mind Rescue, when I do anything in life, I have limitations. Everybody has their limitations. But, you know, I think the guys that I do Mind Rescue with, you know, they know that I'm quite capable, and that's, And I showed that when I did the underground competition. You know, I carried the stretcher. Yeah. I was head medic for the competition. You know, like, I am quite capable, and I know that. And the boys on site know that too. You know, I do understand that when people first see me, their first impression is that I'm a bimbo, that I'm arrogant, that I'm intimidating.
Yeah.
And these are all things that people tell me once they get to know me. They're like, oh, you're actually nice. And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, I don't have to prove myself because I do it without trying to, if you know what I mean. Like,
you have a standard of excellence. And I think that's, like, I want to understand the conversations that you're having. Like, for example, how do you motivate or how do you approach the conversations with people who want to look after themselves on site and who want to improve their well-being? Talk to us a little bit about, you know, do people come up to you and ask you for help? How do you motivate your team and the people around you to not succumb to the excuses and you know, work on themselves?
It goes both ways. Sometimes I hassle the boys, like me and one of the guys walk home from a site, so we have a walking track. We are really fortunate. No, not every site has that. We do have a walking track. It's about 4.5 Ks from site to camp. So, you know, I hassle some of the boys, like, come and walk with us. Don't be a slack motherfucker. Like, just all you're gonna do is walk and stop eating some rolls. But, so, you know, some of the boys I hassle, but it's with love, and they know that. They know that I'm doing it out of love. And then some people approach me, like, I do write programs for some of the guys. So, yeah, some of the boys have approached me and said, can you write me a program for the gym? I don't really train with anyone, and the guys know that. Like, they know when I'm in the gym, I don't really talk to anyone. Actually, I probably look really rude in the gym. But, yeah, like, some of them have asked me, like, can you write me a program? Yep, I'll do it, because I'm a qualified personal trainer as well. So, yeah, sometimes I write a program for the guys. You know, I don't expect anything for it except for compliance, because I don't want to go out of my way and... you know, put in all that effort, and I'm real pedantic, you know, like I think about every, you know, I don't just write a fucking cookie cutter program. So yeah, like, and I really want them to get the most out of it that they can. So yeah, it goes both ways. Sometimes I hassle them, and sometimes they approach me and say, hey, or we'll just be in the crib room and someone will say, oh, what's your opinion on eating this food compared to this food, things like that. So yeah.
What would you say in the last 12 months was the most interesting thing that you've learned with relevance to health and fitness and FIFO?
The last 12 months have taught me a lot, and it's not just in relevance to health and fitness and FIFO, but I've learned my value as an employee, my value in my knowledge, my value as a person, my value as a friend. I think that's the biggest thing, and I think that's something that everyone needs to learn. And someone actually said that to me a while ago on site. They said, Nesh, you need to make yourself indisposable in a way and realize your own value. And I'm not saying I'm indisposable, especially to a big company, but I do know my value and I know what I'm worth. And I think that's something that everyone needs to learn. And yeah, it's only taken me to nearly 30 to realize it, but yeah.
Don't worry, I'm in the same boat. Takes forever.
Yeah, it's only probably very recently that I've realised what my value is and what I deserve from all aspects of life. So I think that's a very important lesson that we all need to learn.
That's massive. And have you started asking for what you're worth?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I tell people what I deserve, I tell people what I'm worth, and I ask for it.
Great. That's fucking awesome. This has been incredibly enlightening. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your understanding, and helping us to get a better understanding of what it's like, what your world is like, particularly on FIFO and the competition that you've got coming up here as well. A huge congratulations and a huge good luck, although you know it's all about the hard work, less about the luck. For the competition, so keep us all posted on how all that goes. But is there anything you'd like to share with us before we all bounce off? Actually, how can people find out more about you? Is it just your Instagram handle?
Just follow me. So I'm at Vanessa Jane Carly. I know it's a long one, guys, but that's me. So just follow me.
At least there's no underscore.
No, there's no underscores. Just one long name, Vanessa Jane Carly. So everyone follow me there.
You're gonna get hundreds of followers after saying that.
Who's watching?
And literally, so
the 99% of people who are guys who are watching this follow at Vanessa Jane Carly, and chicks of course as well. She's an absolute superstar. Really insightful, interesting snaps and daily stories. So definitely check her out for that as well, and follow her journey coming up into the bodybuilding competition IFBB in the next 2 weeks. So let's send her support that way. But again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be on the show, and have a fantastic rest of your week.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again, Cam.
My pleasure. See you later.